Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Human attention is a scarce resource that millions of companies across the globe are fighting for. Once a week, I interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how they earn attention for their brands using social content and media. To learn more about my work, visit arilewis.com and subscribe to my twice-a-week newsletter on how to earn attention for your brand. Today's guest is Ian Carr. Ian is the co-founder of FinTech Today, a media company covering product strategy and analysis on the fintech industry.
Hey man, how are you? Thanks for having me.
So we talk a lot on Twitter and stuff, and you know, I'm excited to talk about, you know, media and content. But before we start, you know, really interesting anecdote that I heard from you that I think would be a fun, you know, side conversation to kick things off that's a little different. When you were in college, you dropped out and then you ended up going back to college. So can you just talk about, like, when you started your career, you decided to drop out, you know, why did you do that? And how did that make an impact?
Yeah, I never finished school. I was an econ and political science double major at a college called Franklin Marshall in Pennsylvania. I was always, I think I did two summer internships at a hedge fund focused on CDOs, like collateralized debt obligations, which was like basically around like the mortgage-backed securities crisis. It was like basically repackaged mortgage-backed loans. So I was just an analyst there. And then really randomly, my dad had a heart attack. He's fine now, but at the time it was a little touch and go. So I took a semester off, was hanging out at home. I was really bored. And they're like, listen, like, you're not doing anything. Why don't you come work full time? And, you know, I was like, all right. So it was good money at the time. And I was, you know, a junior. Didn't last that long. I absolutely hated it. So it was really soul sucking in the sense that, like, I am someone that like is very like driven by my passions, I think. And I didn't really find it that interesting sitting there being an analyst trying to split apart these like really shitty loans from other shitty loans. And you know, I started learning more about like what was driving the economic crisis at the time, and you know, didn't really sit that well. My dad was an ER doctor for about 25 years in New York. He's retired now, so you know, always well, like wanted to figure out how to help people. So was always really passionate about writing, and then you know, kind of got into, I think I applied to like 200 writing jobs or something, like something crazy like that, and randomly got an offer from this subsidiary of Newsweek, and started as a tech reporter, and then eventually kind of worked my way into like the intersection of business and tech. And then around 2014, when Apple Pay launched, I was a reporter at this company called Bank Innovation, and ended up breaking a lot of stories about Apple Pay. So that's kind of what kicked off my interest in fintech, and that's kind of got me here.
So let's start with, you know, your content creation and media background, because I think that'll eventually be a good segue into the company you run now and sort of my thesis that we see a lot on Twitter about how all product companies are becoming media companies. But, you know, what, you know, being in media in 2014 and being a reporter, you know, what were some of the lessons that you learned, and what were some of the good experiences that now help serve you with, you know, running your own company that is very much a media company?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the lessons that I've learned in the past have helped shape what the content strategy is for FinTech Today. We only publish three times a week. We have three different writers who publish opinion articles, columns, essentially, and including myself. Some weeks I might be a little bit too busy, so I might have to skip, but usually I try to stay pretty consistent. But, you know, I think one thing that I learned really early on at a media company was the fact that, like, you know, you were supposed to crank out articles. You know, it was a content farm. So I was like my first job, I was tasked to write like five articles a day about nonsense that I didn't even, like, no one really found interesting. And it was just to get, because, you know, mainly these media companies back then were monetized through search engine optimization, right? And they were just seeing a lot of growth on social and starting to see that a lot of interest there. And they're all trying to figure out, like, how to get more viral, right? I think that was right around the time that BuzzFeed was taking off, things like that. But the thing is, like, BuzzFeed's content was inherently viral. It was, like, interesting content that was interesting to a subset of people. Not the fact that they, like, you know, lowered the bar for their content. It was just different kind of content, if that makes sense. Like, I think, and obviously places, you know, then I ended up becoming a better reporter. And I was much more interested in kind of writing in-depth stories. I was always really passionate about writing. You know, the college I went to is very writing intensive. So we basically, you know, focused on a lot of interviews and stuff like that. I ended up getting a job at a company called Quartz, which is a division of the Atlantic at the time, and was the future finance reporter there, and ended up writing a lot of you know, great stories there. And I think obviously with the quality of, you know, mainstream publications is a lot higher, right? So you learn different kind of interesting lessons there. At Quartz, I think, you know, they experimented a lot with things like sponsored content and things like that to monetize, you know, different audiences. I think that's something that we tried a lot, to a lot of great success as well. But yeah, I think at Quartz, I also was a really big proponent of thinking about things like developing a community. I was always interested in the fintech ecosystem, and I thought that because of how much venture capital is in it and how much interest in the startup side there is, I always thought like a niche vertical would be really interesting around this. But in my opinion, the most interesting publications don't know what, they're not really focused on early stage startups. They're more on the banking innovation, like the bank side of things when it comes to fintech. And then also the niche is just too small for a larger media publication to be interested in. So as a standalone, you got to figure out the right way to monetize it. And I think there are a lot of different ways if you know the ecosystem really well, which, you know, I ended up kind of getting into after my media, you know, I was a reporter for about 2.5 years, ended up getting into product development at a company called Acorns, which is based out in Newport Beach. So lived out there for a year and helped build out the in-app financial literacy content, which is really fun to kind of experience. Then took a slight detour into e-commerce for about a year and a half, but I'll save that story for a little bit later.
So a lot of takeaways there. One of the things I wanted to ask about early on that you mentioned was sort of the churn and burn mentality that a lot of these, you know, content shops have, especially media companies. You know, do you find that is still a successful strategy? And like, is that something that like is more successful for a media company, or is that more successful for a company that's more of a brand that's trying to build, like, you know, a Grammarly, for example? I know they have a super successful SEO strategy. Or do you think people should completely avoid that churn and burn, and those days are sort of over, and now like they're really, people need to double down and be more focused on quality and not writing for like this SEO optimization that people were doing SEO, a few years ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. SEO is great. I think what you realize is that if you create really good content, that content gets shared and things like that. There's a lot of organic growth around really high quality content that is not replicable with like SEO content, if that makes sense. SEO content, I think the best ones are a little bit more matter of factly, like NerdWallet, right? I think does really good SEO content. I think those are really great ways to kind of you know, tackle the SEO angle. But I think if you create content for your actual users and something that resonates with them, if you figure out a way to compel them to share, it's probably a better growth strategy in the long run, because that's just a flywheel that has a lot of like other external effects, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. So, you know, I want to eventually get into fintech today and your time at Acorn, but my other question for your time as a reporter, and a lot of the people listening are in PR, or in pitching stories, you know, what were the stories that you decided to write about? How did you go about writing them? And maybe this even applies to fintech today. And what did like a compelling pitch look like to you? Like what was something where it was compelling?
Sports standards were extremely high because they're, you know, in my opinion, one of the top business publications, especially the ones that are more digitally focused. So we mainly focused on stories that were talking about an underlying theme in the industry. So a pattern that we recognized or something like that. So it would be high level articles and like they would be well reported and things like that. So we wouldn't really write, like if we wrote about a funding round, we would say, this is a funding round that's interesting because it's the fifth company in the last 6 months that got funded in this sector, right? So you have to put it into the, because the mainstream audience at Quartz, they don't really care about fintech, right? They have a lot of other interests. They're more interested in technology, general business, things like that, management, professional development. Now for us, we have such a sophisticated audience, they don't really care about the nonsense that goes on that's, you know, written about in like 90% of the industry publications. Not going to name names, but I mean, happy to if you want. But But, you know, some of these banking focused industry publications just write, you know, either really inaccurate, in like factually incorrect stuff, or just, you know, copy and pasted versions of articles from other people. So they're looking for high quality content. So what we focus on is really, really cutting edge, really interesting stuff. And, you know, talking to founders that are being very selective about it too. So we have really high standards when it comes to pitching as well. I think for most people, especially creators nowadays that are doing newsletters, like they like to find ideas and articles on their own rather than getting pitched. So it's going to be interesting dynamic to see how that changes.
So you talked about the inaccuracy of some of these media companies. Do you, and like obviously in the mainstream news, you know, you have folks like Trump, and I don't want this to be a political conversation, you know, screaming fake news and stuff. But do you see people in like these like niche media verticals, like where you have operators or other companies that are in the space screaming like this is fake news, or like the coverage is inaccurate? Is it spreading to those sort of niche publications as well?
I haven't seen it, because a lot of these creators don't write like that. They're not like, we've never broken a story. Both Julie's my co-founder. She was a lead fintech reporter at Bloomberg News. She's broken stories about like Plaid acquiring Clovo for $200 million. She's written really, really big, you know, market moving stories. But after a certain point, you realize that breaking news and these kind of things, A, it leads to a lot of accusations around fake news that just are unavoidable at this point. But also, just it's not really as valuable. It's valuable, but it's also not really as, the ROI isn't that great on a revenue side, right? Like, someone's going to copy your content, and that's going to be public. It's going to be widely accessible information about 30 minutes. Like, you don't really have an edge anymore. So if without that, like, I don't really see the value in us breaking news. First of all, our readers aren't really public market investors, because there aren't that many public market fintech companies. B, like, this isn't tradable information. This is just the information that we can acquire is in theory valuable for investors, but we can also package that up into quarterly reports as well, right?
So, you know, I want to talk about now your time at Acorn and your time at is it Lot 18 and or Tasting Room?
Yeah, Tasting Room.
And your role, sort of, you know, you went from a media reporter to a content person, product person. You know, first the question I have is, you know, do you see people serving in these types of roles? Because, like, again, as I said in the beginning, more and more companies are becoming media companies. You know, do you agree with that? Do you think that, you know, companies need to start pursuing these content strategies in order to grow, or is the old ways of growth still possible?
I think that a lot of these companies look to content for a couple of different ways. At Acorns, we saw it as a way to just increase engagement. We were seeing a lot of people use the app, but we just wanted to give them more stuff to do. So we thought, you know, creating a financial literacy content product would be a really great way to not just keep them engaged, but also educate our users. So I was tasked to kind of start that from zero to one. So it was a really interesting project. We did a lot of user research. It was very iterative. And then I also scoped out like IRA and different like products, like, you know, helping out with like thinking about what an IRA would look like and things like that. It was a really great experience. I think my experience at Tasting Room was much more focused on product management, much less related to content. So I'll focus on Acorns. I think a lot of companies, especially consumer ones, definitely need to start thinking about their content strategy. It's a great way to engage your users and educate them, and also just keep them up to date on what's going on. I think Robinhood does a great example of like someone that's really scaled, you know, been able to, you know, develop a content strategy over time. They didn't have one to begin with, but they bought snacks, and then, you know, now that's a relatively popular product within Robinhood as well, and externally too. So thinking about ways like that, there are a lot of different ways to go about it. It's really about how much you want to focus on it, and then also what value you think you can get out of it, right?
So how should a founder or a team where they don't have a content person or it's not their expertise, how should they go about, you know, building that and beginning the flywheel? You know, how do they go discover this is where the audience consumes news and this is, you know, the audience we want to bring in? And then how do they start thinking about and strategizing what the content creation looks like?
I think a company that does this really well in fintech is Modern Treasury, right? They're an API company. They just do really, really interesting fintech related AP like articles. And like it's stuff that only like me and like my 15 friends who are really like nerdy about payments would be interested in. But that's their market. They're selling to payments developers. So it's really interesting. And they've been able to kind of just focus on their specialty and their niche and just create content around that. So I think that's my best advice. Like thinking about what resonates with your audience that you guys are intimately knowledgeable about, and then leveraging that knowledge to create content.
So I think, you know, I have a good question that will probably be a good, you know, segue or, you know, continuance into what fintech today is, but why do you think there's been like this shift to more niche content and niche, you know, media, right? We've seen sort of a lot of these traditional media publications under pressure, but also, you know, if you're a company, a product company, you might not necessarily need to be in TechCrunch. You might actually want to be in that trade publication because that's where your audience is. You know, why has this, you know, begun to happen, and you know, where did you see that opportunity in fintech when you started fintech today?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that what I realized was that there's so much, I think content is a great way to, you know, share knowledge. And I think a lot of people are really interested in understanding how to build fintech products. So I think that's the problem that we're trying to solve. Like how can you like improving like just professional development and enabling like, you know, people to be able to build the best products in fintech. And I think when you think about it from that perspective, there's a lot of different ways that you can kind of go. Yeah, I forgot the second bit of the question, if you don't mind repeating.
So Ian, yeah, as a follow-up to that. So, you know, you look at publications like the Wall Street Journal, right? They mm-hmm. cover fintech, but they don't really have a dedicated fintech reporter. Like what made you see this opportunity that, you know, there was ways to make money in a niche? Because, right, the traditional path was, you know, build out a huge audience. And now everyone's talking about like build 1,000 true fans. And I think also as a follow-on question to that, you know, how is this changing for like product companies as well? Because I've spoken to a lot of companies and had guests on where they would prefer to be in a niche trade magazine than, you know, the Wall Street Journal, because that's where their customers are. Do you think that's going to continue to happen where, you know, as they say, the riches are in the niches?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. The answer's going to be a little unexpected. I stumbled into this. I had no idea at first when I was like 20, 21 when I first started covering fintech. So I did not think about this very thoughtfully. I was just more following my passions. I was super interested in tech, you know, since I was a kid. I studied econ. I was always interested in regulated industries. And I kind of figured like, oh, this would be really interesting to kind of learn a little bit more about. And then next thing you know, it was like a year in and I was like, you know, just like devouring fintech like content all the time. So I kind of stumbled into it. But once I got to Acorns, I realized that, oh, wait, working in fintech is actually really complicated. It's really difficult. I wish I had some stuff to read. Wish I had some like advice to get, you know, I didn't know who to go to. It was my first product management role. So a lot of these things that we're trying to solve, I discovered organically just through my own personal experiences. I just found it really difficult to keep up to date with what was going on in the industry. I didn't really have time to really think about all the different developments very strategically. And I think longer term, as we kind of think about fintech today, there's a lot more problems we can solve too around like just research and things like that, that making it easier for not just operators in fintech, but also investors and other demographics as well in the ecosystem, make it easier to, you know, learn more and keep updated with the industry.
Did you look at fintech today as a community with a media component, or as a, you know, media company with a community component, or even like a data type product with a media and community component? How do you position it?
I would probably say right now it's at this point, it's probably a community with a media component, if anything. We have a really vibrant community of around 100 operators in fintech. We just moved that up to around 150. I think we'll probably, once we hit 200, we'll probably cap it for a couple months. yeah, these folks are paying around $85 a month to talk off the record about, you know, things in the industry. And it's been really valuable for most people. I mean, a lot of them have talked about companies that they're looking at, in like sectors that they know deeply from past experience. A lot of people ask for advice around like, oh, how do we manage SOC 2 compliance? Or, oh, does anyone know a good vendor for AML or KYC? Like, these are all very nerdy things. Like, not many people are going to care about anti-money laundering, compliance or know your customer compliance technology, but like everyone in this group does, right? And you can't really get those insights that readily. So, and the content right now is the free content is a really cheap way to acquire that audience and that community. And then the paid content is going to be geared towards really adding more value to that community as well.
So you talked about that you guys don't really publish original, or I should say breaking news content, mm-hmm. and that most of your content is more like opinion analysis. Do you think that your readers, you know, want that type of, like, how do you make the decision of like, we're only going to stick to analysis versus maybe we'll go into breaking news and stuff like that, especially with your background? And do you think that would be helpful to your product, or it's something that, you know, it's not really critical to it?
It's something we could easily do. I just like, news is just really difficult, I think, nowadays. The trust is really fractured, I think, with the reader, and like the relationship is kind of broken. I think there are a lot of companies that could probably do news really well. I think, you know, there are a lot of fintech reporters out there. Hewson at CNBC. I think Kate Rooney's at CNBC as well. She's really great. The Journal does have a couple fintech reporters. Journalism and content creation are two inherently different things. And I think a lot of people kind of conflate the two. We want to be very clear about the distinction between the two on our end. And I think we don't want to get in any like gray lines or anything like that. So we want to stay really focused on the research side and the opinion side, and the experts handle the news side, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How do you, I guess, create, I don't know if Chinese wall's the right version, but I've seen a lot of both like companies similar to yours, but as well as product companies go into like doing interviews and stuff. How do you mm-hmm. define those guidelines to make sure that like it's a good, you know, Chinese wall where you're staying objective, but it's also, you know, continuing to be interesting and beneficial for all sides? Do you guys do interviews like that, by the way?
Yeah, we don't promise objectivity. I mean, like, we try to be objective, but like, we make opinions all the time. When we say things are, especially in our premium newsletter, Julie is very, Julie has a lot of great opinions about company strategy and product strategy, and, you know, makes a lot of strong opinions. So we criticize companies where we feel is necessary. On the Chinese wall, we don't really see this as a Chinese wall. We don't really, you know, I'm trying to think of a comparison, but like, I guess like Deloitte, right? You know, they do research and then they also do free research and bespoke research for their customers and things like that. Like, there's a lot of ways that people use content. I think the only thing is like, our content's direct to consumer in a way, right? The way it's delivered is very similar to a traditional media company, like a Morning Brew or like other, like Quartz, which is, you know, has a really robust newsletter. But I think, our strategy is not really around, our strategy is like to have a really strong content arm rather than like to be a media company, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And do you think your strategy is more, you guys just went in a direction and you sort of guessed and hoped that your audience enjoyed that stuff? Or was it more you, were sort of speaking with your customers beforehand and then tailored the, you know, the strategy around that? So I guess, I guess the best question or the best way to ask is, do you think you're more of a content led or it's more community led that's driving the content?
I think about content as a product. So I actually think about it from, we actually just did it like a pure product process. So we started with user research, tried to understand what a subset of our users were really interested in, and then basically scaled up from there. So we kind of spoke to about 50 operators in the fintech ecosystem. Honestly, it wasn't that difficult. I do this all the time. They're all my friends and they're all like PMs and stuff like that. So I was like, listen, like, what problems can we solve? Like, what kind of research stuff can we solve for you guys? That kind of stuff. It was iterative. I mean, we initially thought maybe consulting would be interesting. Then I realized consulting was really boring. And then, cause like the thing is you're a consultant, they never actually execute your project. So you just like be sitting on a great project. So that wasn't really that exciting for us. I think this sort of research lets us do what we really like to do, which is create really interesting content and learn a lot about interesting areas. The community lets us kind of create an engagement layer. And then, you know, in the long run, I think we can kind of, you know, use that to do a lot of really interesting stuff down the line, like education and recruitment and stuff like that. So, you know, we thought about it from, we tried to figure out what is the best way we can use content to add more value to our users. And then, and if they said news, then we probably would have pivoted to news. Like we were pretty open-minded with it, right? I had a gut feeling it was more research. So a lot of our questions were more around that area, and understanding, you know, at a tactical level, what kind of information they use on their day, they needed on their day-to-day working like life. So it's, you know, from a product, so, you know, thinking about as a PM, like most of my decisions are half instinct, half data driven. This was something pretty similar.
So, you know, one of my last questions for you is how do you measure the success of, you know, fintech today from a satisfaction point of view? You know, how are you, is it just, you know, you having conversations with your customers? Do you have like standardized ways of doing it? Is it, you know, based on like retention? Like what do you guys do at the end of the day? Say, oh, our content had an impact. Our community had an impact for our
honestly,
customers.
It's our readers like reaching out saying like, hey, we, you know, learned a lot from this article, or hey, we got connected to this person and they've invested in this company, or oh, we got access to this deal because we met this person through fintech today. A lot of connections have been made through the platform, and I think that's something that we're really excited to like further nurture, if that makes sense. I think that's kind of what really drives me and Julie the most, like being able to enable a lot of entrepreneurship and professional development in the fintech ecosystem.
Great. So as we begin to wrap things up, my last question that I always ask people, if you were starting fintech today again, you know, in the beginning, like what would be one thing you did differently, or, you know, another way you can answer it is like, what's that one big lesson that you've learned since starting this?
I probably would have started with paid and free at the same time, twice a week. I think that adding paid later on left a lot of money on the table and it made it a little bit more difficult. Sponsorships have been fun to kind of execute, but they're also really difficult to do. So I think that's something that we're focused on in the long run. But I think, you know, that's probably the biggest thing I think I learned. And then also just added a community layer from day one as well.
Do you mind me asking, like, why do you think that left money on the table from the paid side, where people like,
well,
less,
I think people
are more resistant to pay?
Yeah. People were, excuse me. It's been a long weekend already. I mean, I got up pretty early today. What I realized was that people were actually really willing to pay money for content. I was actually pretty surprised. I didn't think that they were, but we probably could have started off with like $10 a month tier, you know, right off the bat, and kind of generated a couple thousand dollars in revenue pretty early, just because the audience that I was catering to was willing to use their corporate cards for a lot of this stuff, so they don't really have a problem paying. It was interesting to kind of learn that over the last year.
Got it. Well, thanks so much for joining. For those, and I'll put it in the description, but for those who want to follow you or maybe become a member of FinTech Today, you know, can you share your social handles as well as, you know, where to find you guys?
Twitter is Ian Carr, INKAR _. And our website is fintechtoday.substack.com. So you can check it out there.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining me, and really appreciate it. And you know, hope to have you on the podcast again in the near future.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider giving us 5 stars on iTunes. If you're listening to us on YouTube, consider hitting the like button and commenting on what you enjoyed. I'd really appreciate it.